Chris.
Marcus.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness. We are back. Once again, it's the off season officially. I mean, everything's pretty slow right now. It is officially the off season. Draft is over. Got a little OTA action. Who showed up, who didn't, you know. Maybe a wild trade might be coming. We don't know. But it's really the off season right now. So, you know, a lot of craziness going on, but you know, we do have some good stuff for you guys today. So make sure you guys follow us on Twitter. It's ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. Then it's ALPA_QB1 on Instagram. And then it is a little pocket awareness on Facebook. And then you're listening, please subscribe on iTunes, or if you're listening on Spotify, download, please, right? And that's a little pocket awareness for both of those. And then also, you know, follow me and Chris on Twitter at @TheMarkJohnNFL and Chris at @KingManellos. All right, Chris, how are you feeling, man? Feeling good?
I'm fine, because I'm not listening to all the nonsense going on out there. Okay. I'm fine.
Okay. You know, listen to all the nonsense going on.
He finally made his first public words since all of the Adam Schefter nonsense dropped on draft day.
Okay.
And he basically said he loves the Green Bay Packers. He loves his teammates. He loves his coaches. He loves the fans. But he left out the front office.
Yeah.
Which I think everybody knew was where the problem lied.
Well, yeah, that's the big problem, is the front office. The front office is the big problem. And, you know, for all the listeners, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers. You know, there has been a demand for a trade by Aaron Rodgers. He said
No. I'm going to stop you right there. Aaron Rodgers has not demanded a trade.
Well, what has he demanded? He's demanded something.
He's demanding that he be – What's the best way to put this? He's demanding the respect that he deserves, is what he's demanding. And the man is using the leverage that he has earned off of his MVP season, the third MVP season that he's had.
Okay.
An NFC championship game appearance. One of the best statistical seasons for a quarterback ever. The man has all the leverage and no more guaranteed money on his contract. His contract is a 3-year deal.
So let's talk about this. I think this is good. It brings up a good topic, because, you know, one thing that never really happened is QB holdouts. That's never really, really happened. And I think we're about to have a couple this season with Watson. He's holding out, even though he's got all his issues, whatever he's dealing with. But he's holding out, right? He's holding out right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers, he's holding out right now. You know, because that conversation, you think about it like this. You know, I know Deshaun Watson wants to leave. I think that's the difference. Deshaun Watson, he's holding out to be traded, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're still pushing your way out of something. But, like, Aaron Rodgers is really holding out to get paid more. I mean, that's just this. You're right, Chris. I mean,
he's holding out. He's holding out right now.
Yeah.
Stick it to the Packers front office. That's why he's holding out right now.
Yeah.
I honestly don't even think it has anything to do with money. I think it has more to do. I feel like it has more to do about sticking it to the front office. He's got 3 years on his contract. He's got no guaranteed money. He doesn't have any control of his situation in Green Bay. So he's sticking it to him right now in the public and allowing Schefter. Nobody told Adam Schefter. It wasn't breaking news. Adam Schefter said that it was an accumulation of information that it was presented to him over the course of several months. And Adam Schefter decided to drop that bomb on draft day. Yeah. Not that Aaron Rodgers said something on draft day to drop the bomb.
I don't know, man. I feel like he's kind of holding out. I think if they give him 50 mil guaranteed, he'd be like, all right.
They already offered him the top contract of any QB all time.
But what does that mean?
Well, yeah, we don't know. We don't know what the specifics is.
Like, is that yearly? Is that what does that mean? You know what I mean? How many years are guaranteed?
They've offered more money. All we know is that the lump sum of it all is more than what Mahomes got. That's all we know. It was a contract extension, and that's what it was. Yeah, here's what I'm Here's what I'm doing if I'm that front office.
Okay.
I'm going to Aaron Rodgers and going, we will pay you. You're the guy. Until you decide you're not the guy anymore, you're the guy.
Yeah.
We will pay you. It's not about Jordan Love. It's not about trading Jordan Love.
Yeah.
It's about making sure Rodgers has – he's got the guarantees and he feels like he's the man. He doesn't have any – he has nothing for the next three seasons. They could drop him like that and it's over. But I think they if they recommit to him with a new contract, if I'm the front office, I'm saying, listen, you're our guy. We'll lay it out. What I think they need to do is backload the hell out of it, because there is such a cap crisis for the Green Bay Packers starting in 2022. There are no wide receivers other than Amari Rodgers, their third round draft pick, on the roster after this season. Not a single one committed to a contract.
See,
so there's a big problem. They got to re-sign Devontae. He's up. They got to re-sign him. Jair Alexander, fifth-year option. He's done after this year. They got to re-sign him. So those are two huge contracts that you got to put on the books, and there's nowhere to put them. They don't have the money for it. So
Jair Alexander's 2 more years. They got him for 2 more years.
They just picked up his fifth-year option.
Yeah, but this is fourth year.
This is – I could have sworn –
This is when you pick up the option. Yes.
Okay, I got it. Yeah, so it's this season and next – he's on the books for 2022. I love the pick of Eric Stokes, by the way. Him, Stokes, and Jair, that's going to be awesome. Ain't nobody running over the top and getting a late touchdown on Eric Stokes.
Yeah.
Running 4-2. Nobody's going over the top of him like that. Yeah. But they basically have to come to Rodgers and say, we will give you money. It's just going to come in the back half of your contract, because we need as much money now to keep a team together going forward. See, you either do that or here's the other thing. And I know it's a conversation that we're going to get to as well. June 1st is when the cap situation is easier on the Green Bay Packers when it comes to Aaron Rodgers' contract.
Yeah.
He will either be traded the first week of June, or they've figured something out to keep him for the rest of his career in Green Bay. That's it. There's two plays here, and it's going to all play out the first week of June.
All right.
Let me tell you. Here's what I will accept as a Green Bay Packer fan. If you're going to trade Aaron Rodgers, he goes to Denver. He comes to mess you up twice a season.
No, see that.
Hold up. He's coming to you, and we're going to get 3 first-round picks and Jerry Jeudy.
I mean, that's not a bad trade. See, because with Aaron upset and they're in this position to pay more money, I feel like that the Packers – you're not going to like what I say this, Chris. You're not going to like it. I think the Packers, with what Matt LaFleur does with quarterbacks, can survive with Jordan Love and win a lot of games.
I don't disagree with you.
Because, one, I think Matt LaFleur could hide him with lots of play action, mm-hmm. which would make it a lot easier. They got 2 really good running backs. They could run the football. They could kind of transform themselves.
Got a great offensive line. Got Amari Coop. Amari Rodgers is going to come in, and he's going to be that – jet sweep receiver. He's a legit listen, if Rodgers is gone, I'm fine. I'm only okay though if we get Jerry Jeudy and 3 first round picks. That's the only way I'm okay. If we get less than that, I'm gonna have a problem.
See, I'm kind of good with him going to the Broncos. This sounds crazy too, because I know Pat Shermer's there, so I'm not scared of Pat Shermer. I don't care who his quarterback is. I mean, I'm sure Aaron could turn them into a 10-6 team. I'm sure he could.
If you're going to say Russell Wilson is a 10-win guy, you got to say Rodgers is a 10. He's a 12-win guy. Shermer.
I'm not scared of Pat Shermer. I don't know. Maybe Pat Shermer was just keeping it really simple for Drew Lock. Maybe that's what it is. Maybe he could just open it up, but it's still a new offense for because he doesn't run the offense that LaFleur runs, and he doesn't really run like Mike McCarthy runs, really, now that I think about it. So, I don't know.
You want to have Aaron Rodgers learn a new playbook in less time than he had? 2 years ago when LaFleur came in. So, I mean, I honestly, if Rodgers goes, I want to see him in Denver. You got to give me Jerry Jeudy, and you got to give me 3 first-round picks because whatever he does, it's going to be a back half of the first-round pick anyway.
Yeah, I think that would be good. I don't know. But they're not going to trade him because Matt LaFleur doesn't want to.
I absolutely do not want to see Aaron Rodgers leave. But, like, I'm looking at the future here, and we're in trouble. We're not going to be able to field the team.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, they're going to have to.
So I'm okay with seeing him. I mean, what quarterback have we seen that's finished their career with the team that he was originally on?
Yeah, see, because I don't know. I mean, it's all based on how Jordan Love looks to a little bit, I guess, in training camp and stuff like that. If Rodgers does hold out and he gets a chance and he starts to look good, I mean, they might just, like, see how far Aaron does.
Well, today was the first day that they got to see him out, that the press got to see him out there. He had two 10-play drives, one into the wind, one against the wind. Okay. He went 7 for 10 on both drives, going through progressions, mostly intermediate throws, one deep throw with the wind at his back, and he overthrew the receiver. So 7 for 10, I'll take 70. If that's going to translate to 70%, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
I'm fine with that. But I mean, today's day one. He's gonna get all the reps in. He's gonna get all the reps.
Is he getting first team reps?
Yeah, he's first team reps. He's getting first team reps.
So why did they hold him out all last year? That's interesting.
They didn't. He had 7 practices last year. It was COVID. They didn't hold him out because they wanted to. They held him out because Rodgers needed to get more time in the offense.
Yeah, that's true.
So it's OTAs is all,
and there's no preseason last year, which
no,
I
nothing.
Think, which
we didn't get to see him at all.
Preseason changes a lot of people's minds for guys who made the team. I think sometimes a good preseason performance, you know, can change everything.
They had the second round pick the center first team. They had Jenkins at left tackle. They had Runyon at guard. They had the rookie at Ohio State at center. Billy Turner was at right tackle. And who's left? Patrick? Lucas Patrick? Is that who our right guard was? So that was the first team O-line. And Jordan Love was in control. I'm totally fine. If you're going to trade Rodgers, you better get – I better see that value. I've got my heart set on Jerry Jeudy because then you can re-sign Davante Adams because there's no – the cap situation totally changes with Rodgers gone. You're going to tell me Davante Adams at the 1, Jerry Jeudy at the 2, and Amari Rodgers at 3? Well, that's one of the best young core of receivers in the NFL. And then you got Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon in the backfield with one of the best offensive lines from last year. The offense is fine. I'm not worried about the offense.
Yeah.
So let the drama go the way it will. We're not going to know anything until the first week of June. Everything that's being said is just people saying it. And you know what I hated more than anything this last month of May when it came to Aaron Rodgers? Any team or any social media or any talking head on ESPN or whatever it was, they're talking about Aaron Rodgers going to these different teams, and they're talking about the lineups that he would be jumping into, the wide receivers and the running backs and the tight ends, and they're acting like – all these other teams would never have to trade some of those guys to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Like if you think that it's just going to be draft picks, you're fooling yourself. You're fooling yourself. That's not how it works for a guy, for the MVP, the reigning MVP of the league. That's not how it works.
See, and that's a lot to feel like, I mean, to think that you're going to do that and win. I mean, I don't know. It's like trading for LeBron. Like, yeah, you might get a championship, and you might, right? But, I don't know, man.
People think that Drew Locke's going to be involved in the trade. We don't need Drew Locke. That's not a thing.
This one Packers
guy, Locke is
man,
not going
he's,
anywhere.
He's like, I'll take Derek Carr. Like, that's all. Like, I'll take Derek Carr, and then you guys can – I mean, that's the only person he'll take. He's like – that's it. I'm not taking any. I don't want Drew Locke. Drew Locke is not going to work out. You'd rather go Jordan Love. You're going to give me a quarterback. Do Derek Carr. But Gruden's not trading Carr. He loves him.
No. Yeah, no, I'm sorry. You guys aren't in the run. You don't have anything that we want over there.
He thinks Carr's elite.
Carr may actually prove him right. He may actually prove him right this year.
Yeah, I mean, Carr's good without play action, but I mean, I think that's a lot of quarterbacks these days aren't. But I don't know, bro. They love him now. He played good last year. He was in control, but. And I think if he went somewhere else, I know he would play really well. And I think Raider fans would be pissed. They would be upset, especially if he went back with Devontae.
Yeah.
Because that's what the one dude online was saying. That's why he liked Derek, because he's already got a relationship with Devontae. I mean, I don't know if they still work out in the offseason. They probably do. They just don't show it. But, you know, I mean, they're boys. So they are connection. And I think –
Fresno State, man. They got
He probably might want to stay if Carr came, you know, because that's his boy.
Oh, Devontae's staying, man, because they got to pay him.
Yeah, they got
nobody else. Who's going to pay him? Who's got that money laying around like that on a competitive team?
No, bro. I don't know.
So I kept cutting you off when I was talking about Rodgers. Let me hear what you got to say about Rodgers.
I mean, I wouldn't trade Rodgers. I think it'd be dumb. I think you just give him the money. I mean, that's what I would do. I mean, but they only know how ready Jordan Love is. So, like, if they feel like Jordan Love is ready, then I would be like, okay, whatever, dude. But if they don't, then they need to pay him and they need to stop messing around and get that done, because you can't go into the season without your quarterback there, dude. Like you can't do it. That's why quarterback holdouts are crazy. Like the what the Texans are about to go through. I mean, I don't think that coach is ready for that. I don't think he understands that he might go into the season with Tyrod Taylor starting. I don't think he, you know, like that. A quarterback holdout is so impactful on a team, because the quarterback is like, especially when you have a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, it's like the players aren't sure about the season. They're like, what are we gonna do? Are we gonna be good? I mean, they're looking at Jordan Love all skeptical, because, like, you know, and then he's got to try to win them over, and you know, you're looking at the front office like, hey guys, we want to win a Super Bowl, we went to back-to-back NFC championships, like we're a Super Bowl ready team, so like, what is going on, you know? Because it's just crazy. But it all comes back to Dak's an idiot. I think Dak's an idiot, and he should have did this. I don't know why he did. I don't know who's coaching him. I bet he thinks about this a little bit. Because even though he still got paid, and I know he still got paid, but he probably should have took this stance after the first franchise tag. Because he's franchise tagged twice, right? Am I correct?
No. They only hit him with the one. They fixed – they gave him a new contract instead of tagging him again.
Okay. That is true. Yeah, I don't know, man. I feel like – because then he got hurt. And he got paid, and he still got paid though, but I don't know.
He got paid. He's gonna end up screwing that franchise up for a while because of taking that contract and them giving him that contract. And I don't think he's worth that money, man.
They got a really good offense, bro. They got a really good offense.
See, they don't have an offense. That offensive line is not the same. That offensive line is not the same, Marcus.
I don't care. I don't think Dak needs a great offensive line anymore.
Well, hashtag we will see for Dak Prescott, and you will hear that from me all.
I know, Chris, long. But I'm just saying I don't know if you should sleep on Dak. I think Dak's really good. I haven't done my summer watching him yet though, but I'm gonna get there. I'm 13 quarterbacks in, Chris, so the list is coming, man. I'm not doing rookies though. I still haven't.
No, you can't do rookies. That Marcus, you couldn't have set this up any better. We got our follow up conversation here after Aaron Rodgers. The Pro Football Focus top 32 quarterbacks. They put their list out 2 days ago, Marcus. Here we are, May 25th, and they already dropped the top 32. So we're going to dive into that. But I think before we get to that, we gotta do our draft recap here.
Oh, you want to do a draft recap? Okay.
I think we gotta get to that one.
All right. So draft recap. So you know, Trevor Lawrence, Jags. We all knew that. Zach Wilson, Jets. We all knew that. The surprises were Fields to the Bears, and Mac Jones to the Patriots.
Was it a surprise though? Fields to the Bears. Huge surprise. Huge surprise. Huge surprise to see the Bears move up and actually make a smart decision.
Yeah,
that took me by surprise. I had to give away compliments to to my friends who are Bears fans all of a sudden, like, I didn't know what to do with myself. Like, there wasn't something to rip on. The whole division, the whole NFC North drafted really well.
Yeah.
In my opinion. And I think the Packers probably had the worst draft out of the entire NFC North.
Yeah.
I liked, don't get me wrong, I liked what the Packers were doing, but I think in the whole scheme of things for the draft, they're on the bottom of what happened in the NFC North. But yeah. I think we nailed it with Trevor Lawrence 1. I can't believe it actually happened, seeing Wilson go 2. You nailed it with Trey Lance at 3 to the Niners.
Yeah.
And then we went, what was it, 10 with Fields?
Yeah. No. Well, I had Fields going last, I think. I did have Fields going last, no matter what.
You did, yeah. You said Mac Jones would go right away.
Mm-hmm. I said Mac, because my thing was, like, would they take Mac? And it makes sense why they took Trey Lance, because Trey Lance is the other structured quarterback in the draft. Like, I mean, he is a – like, he's not a scrambler. He's a structured play action at North Dakota State, play action. So I can see why they really liked him, because he's not an off-script guy. He is a script player. I mean, that's what he does. What Shanahan draws up, the 1, 2, and the 3, he's going to get to all of those before he decides to run. I mean, that's just will it be accurate enough? That's a different question. Will it be accurate? I mean, that's a different story, but will he be smart and understand what he's doing? Yeah, that's why I had a feeling, because I talked about that on the show, that I have a feeling that they might take him because of that situation of him being a structured quarterback. I mean, that's what they want him. So obviously, because basically that's what he is. He's a structured quarterback that can move. And then and Shanahan's creative. And he ran his own read before, so he's going to put some zone read in there for him. I also know why they kept Jimmy G. I'm like, bro, just trade Jimmy. Like,
no, so here's what it is. And this is what I'm starting to dive into a little bit more personally. It's follow the money, man. Follow the money. He's in over 20 – he's $20 million in dead cap money if you move on from him this season. Next year, poof, the cap issue's gone. They kept him this year solely for cap reasons.
Yeah.
Solely for cap reasons.
And they probably couldn't move him anyways. But I don't know. I feel like sometimes, I mean, at this point in the offseason, like, there's dead cap. Like, who cares? I mean, you got a team built. You know, like, dead cap. What is dead cap at this point? You know what I mean? Like, and you can carry that on there at this point. Like, I don't know. I'm not a cap guy. So I could be completely wrong that keeping dead cap can hurt you later on in the season. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It comes and messes with you, and it carries over. I think to an extent of what can happen with next season. It can mess with you. So I think I think the scenario, if I recall correctly from what I was reading, this is a strictly a cap move to keep Jimmy G involved with the franchise this season, and then next year they're going to move on. Okay. That's what's going to happen there. And I still can't get over the fact that Fields is a Chicago Bear. They might actually have a quarterback, Marcus.
I know.
Like, for the first time ever. Like
man, Nagy's smart, bro. I read on Monday Morning Quarterback, Albert Breer. I read on there about how, you know, Matt Nagy was, like, triggering on him the whole time. Didn't think he would fall that far. So
no, I didn't. Well, you know me. Like, I thought they were gonna. I thought he was gonna go to the Falcons. I thought we were gonna 1, 2, 3, 4 with quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah. Not today. So no. Yeah, that was smart though. That was smart for them to trade up like that.
Absolutely, it's the best decision that organization's made on a draft pick. I don't even know how long, Marcus.
They gotta play him right away too. I think that team is set and ready for him to play. Like, they can play with a rookie quarterback.
Well, right. I don't know that they can. I don't think that offensive line is in a good space to be able to do that. But they also didn't get one of the big tackles?
Yes, Tevin Jenkins. They got Tevin Jenkins. Yeah,
they got Jenkins. So they've brought in a left tackle to protect him as well. That's what I was talking about with just all these compliments I had to give to my Bears fans' friends, man. I'm it's obnoxious this offseason. I don't like this.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like,
the tackle situation might be okay on the left side, but I don't trust the interior of the offensive line for that right away. I think you got to start the season with Andy Dalton. I really do.
For sure.
But I've always been of the let the quarterback sit mindset. Let him learn.
Yeah.
I think when you do baptism by fire, if you don't have the right guy, you get Johnny Manziel's.
See, the thing is, we're getting preseason this year, though, so
yeah,
have a choice.
Yeah.
If he wins it, bro, he wins it. You know what I mean? Like,
sure.
That's the thing with, like, preseason and how it works. I mean, like, when you have a quarterback that's like that, you know, built up, that highly touted coming out, and he gets a chance to win, we're all watching those preseason.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be put on every throw from Justin Fields. And if he comes out, he comes out with the twos and he balls, which he probably will because he's a good player.
I'm going to go through my standard preseason. He's playing against the twos and threes.
Yeah, right? But, you know, but you want him to ball because if he's not, then that's when you get a little nervous. You're like, ooh.
Yeah.
Why aren't you
messing up the two and three?
You know, so that's, like, it's an expectation, but it's not. Because then, like, if that first game, right, he probably won't start. Probably Andy Dalton first. You know, that's how they do it. Okay? Andy Dalton will start the first preseason game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fields will probably play for most of it. And then as well, they'll come back because there's only three this year. So they're going to come back with the second one and be like, okay, should we play?
Split time.
First, yeah, with the ones.
And then the third one with the ones,
he's probably gonna play the whole game.
Uh-huh.
And they're gonna be like, and then here comes week one, we're like, we're going with Justin Fields as quarterback because he just played. Like, you can't because preseason does too is like the locker room will look at you crazy.
You know, the locker room, you nuts.
Because I'm pretty sure if Justin Herbert probably played preseason, like he would have started week one. You know what I mean?
You think he would have took over for Tyrod right away?
It just would have been like you sometimes you just can't, like, yeah, you have that plan, but yeah, you can't always stick with that plan. And then because you look like an idiot like Hugh Jackson did. You just play Baker, bro. If Baker outplays him in the preseason, you don't stick with it. You go with the quarterback that played the best. No matter you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just evaluate.
Yeah.
And if he's good, Fields should win the job, I think.
I with a guy like Justin Fields, agree with you more than I would with a guy like especially in a situation where Cam Newton's there. So
yeah,
Cam got benched four times last season, so we'll see what happens. Yeah. We'll see what happens this upcoming year. And
I watched three games of Cam. I got two more to go. I watched five on everybody. So I watched three games with Kevin, and yeah, it's pretty bad. It's pretty bad, bro. The problem is, though, I think what's happening is with him is that I think he's learning the offense. And since he's learning the offense, his mind is all over the place, so he's scrambled. And then his mechanics is how you've always said it.
Mm-hmm. And,
so he'd be throwing like this, like he's like lined up like this. But then
Marcus, I'm holding you right there. I gotta hold you right there because we'll get to Cam when we jump into the top 32.
Yeah,
we'll get to Cam there.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, I think with Cam and Mac Jones, I don't think Mac Jones is gonna play this year. I think Cam's gonna play the whole year.
You think he's gonna play the whole year?
Because we'll get to that in the PFF thing, but like, I think just from watching Cam, I think he's gonna play the whole year. So, because I think he's going to be better.
Mm-hmm.
You know, explain, but I think Mac Jones is going to have a chance to just watch. And I don't think, you know, Bill Belichick, I don't care how good Cam plays this year, he's gone. You know what I mean?
With getting Mac, that's absolutely what's going to happen.
And
that's
then Cam can go play somewhere else and be whatever he wants to be, right?
Cam,
so,
I think.
But I do think that's going to happen, but I think Mac's going to be able to sit there and watch. So I think he's not going to look the best at first. Like in the preseason, he's probably going to struggle because like Fields messes around.
Speed.
Just run and just whatever.
Yeah.
Mac doesn't have that. He's going to actually
learn. He's got to sit back there. Yeah. Yep. Agreed.
NFL.
Totally agree.
So that's going to be a little little bit of a learning curve for him. So he's not going to look good at first. And Cam's going to easily win that job. And then Mac would have to learn, you know, through, mm-hmm. you know, because Cam's a good tape dude. So he's a, you know, he's a good studier. He's a good work ethic guy. So he can learn, like him and Mac can learn together. And he's you know, just hearing him from like I Am Athlete, he's super humble. He's going to help Mac a lot too. I think he's going to.
I think so too.
Help him learn the offense, learn the philosophy of Bill Belichick too. So I think that's a good situation for Mac because Mac's going to get a chance to learn because I don't think he's second round pick. I don't think he's ready. So.
Yeah, I don't either. I don't think he'll be ready.
It's going to be rough for him. So
I don't think he'll be ready.
Yeah.
But you almost nailed it, man. You almost got the first eight quarterback picks.
I know, bro.
Your seven and eight flip-flop. They went with Kyle Trask over Kellen Mond. Yeah.
Like Mond was like the next pick.
Yep. They went three in a row. They went David Mills went right after that too in the third round.
Yeah. Davis Mills to Houston. That was an interesting one too.
Yes, it was. They got five quarterbacks. They got five quarterbacks in that room.
Bro. We got a lot of kids. Yeah, that's interesting. It was like I think it was like the first time eight quarterbacks went in the top 100.
Yeah, man. If you're not listening to the podcast, you should start listening to the podcast. Nailing everything.
I think Kirk Cousins better watch his back. I think Mond is a perfect guy to develop, and you know, and he's athletic. And
well, do you hear Justin Jeff? Do you hear Justin Jefferson?
Yeah,
he's throwing his quarterback under the bus.
College is different than the NFL, first of all. So I think that was super disrespectful to Kirk because Joe Burrow has played as well as Kirk Cousins has yet. Okay, he didn't even last year. The way he played last year was not even matching how Kirk Cousins at his best. And Kirk Cousins is just like he just because I watched him too. It's like that's basically what I described him as. That's that whole expression I just did right there is Kirk Cousins. It's like
Kirk Cousins just.
but he's good though. He's good, but it's just like he just does like the most boneheaded thing you can think of. Like, bro, you've been good all game. You like made these awesome reads. You hit these perfect, accurate, you know, 30-yard ropes, and then you just make a stupid decision and you lose. It's like, oh. So yeah, you have four touchdowns and a pick, but that pick was in the wrong time. That's Kirk Cousins' take. That's why he never wins because he just his boneheaded mistake is always in the fourth.
Right at the end of the game, man. I've been preaching that to you.
But it's his tape. Like it's good quarterback tape, though. It's good quarterback tape. It's just like it's just.
And now he's got a rookie coming for
like
him.
Kirk, why'd you throw that?
Like, now he's got a rookie coming.
Thinking that's his teammate.
This is the last year of his guaranteed deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now he's got a rookie on his heels.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to these PFF rankings, Chris. Let's get
all right, man.
These PFF rankings.
32.
PFF.
Drew Lock.
They're top 32. Right, are we going backwards here? You want to go backwards?
I think we got to go backwards because right, we can get through some of this stuff here a little quickly on the back end.
Okay. All right. We'll start backwards. So we're going to go through these guys. You ready? So we got 32. We got Drew Lock, Denver Broncos.
The man's going to lose his job if Aaron Rodgers gets traded.
I mean, you can't put Zach Wilson in front of Drew Lock. I'm sorry.
No, you can't. So here, you know what, Marcus? Preface it. Preface it with what you and I were talking about before we started recording.
Yeah, I just think you can't have rookies in a quarterback list. I'm sorry. You can't have rookies in a preseason quarterback list because you're projecting. Like, what if Zach Wilson plays better than Trevor Lawrence? And I'm not saying that's going to happen, but what if it does? You know?
Yeah, like, I think it's silly. I also think it's very silly to have.
Like, Tua came out there, and he played good enough with a good defense, like, and they won games because he didn't turn the ball over. Now, sure, he didn't throw the ball down the field. But did he do his job? He came in there. He played halfway. I mean, you can't say that Trevor Lawrence is better than Tua already. We haven't seen it. Like, was Tua
right.
Awesome? Like, no. But you know what I mean? I don't know. It's just weird. You can't. And then to rank him 21st, like, that's a big projection to me.
And you're talking about Trevor Lawrence. Yeah, on the list here, Trevor Lawrence is at 21.
So. Yeah, it's just weird. I don't know. All right. Let's start. All right, so Drew Lock, 32. I mean, Drew Lock is terrible. I mean, I watched him. If you watch Tape Don't Lie, we got some
beat him up a little, huh?
Yeah, he's awful.
He might not even be in the starting quarterback. You got Teddy Bridgewater got brought into to Denver.
Oh yeah,
they're talking about Rodgers in Denver too. So, I think Drew Lock loses that completely, and it's Teddy Bridgewater's job.
He just has no idea what's going on. So
no, yeah, Luke, yeah. Drew Lock is not. He's not the answer.
All you gotta do is blitz him, bro. It's like it's the easiest thing. You send blitz and you just like
throw it up,
and he's just, you know, they ran like the same plays. I don't know if that was because he didn't learn anything, but they kept running the stupid bootleg play. And they ran it over and over, and it's like, that's not gonna work all the time. Like, so I don't know. And they keep running, and they ran the same slant. That's what I'm saying. I don't know if it's Pat Shurmur either, because that offense they ran sucked. So I don't know, but is that Pat Shurmur running it because it's Drew Lock, or is it because, you know, or is it just Pat Shurmur sucks? And that's what you struggle with quarterbacks sometimes. But I also think Pat Shurmur kind of sucks. But you know, that's how it is. All right, Jalen Hurts, 31. Right, he had nine turnover worthy plays. So they have him 31. I don't know why they have him this low. I think he's kind of undecided. I think that four games, he did fumble a lot, but I think he showed that he looked like in college. I mean, you can't read the field in the big
time. I agree. That was the best. You nailed it. He looked like he did in college. He looked just like he did in college.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting now that he's teamed back up with one of his old receivers.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I think – I don't know about him. I think he fumbles way too much. He fumbled nine times in four games, bro. He's Daniel Jones, basically. He's basically Daniel Jones. So, but
he's 31. I don't know if I don't.
He doesn't read the field well still. So like
no. Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do.
All right,
and also he might not even be the starter. Isn't Flacco out there?
Yeah, come on, bro. He's the starter.
Flacco could take that job.
No, he's not. Maybe midseason, okay, Chris? Flacco's not winning anything. He's not winning anything.
Oh, and Jalen is?
I'm just saying. I'm not betting on Flacco. You can take that bet. I'm not. Okay. All right. Yeah, let's get this quicker. I got Tua, 29. I mean, yeah.
Zach Wilson at 30. Yeah, we jumped that one.
Yeah,
we can't even talk about it.
Cam Newton, 27, which, I mean, is a little harsh.
You want to finish your evaluation there on Cam?
That's what I'm saying. I think it was part mechanics, right, which I think always be a little bit of a problem with him with his feet. But I think the other side of it was the offense. You could tell that he was like a little bit of a deer in the headlights at times. Mm-hmm. You could tell that, like, he wasn't – like, he'd have somebody open, but he wasn't sure. Like, he couldn't anticipate it enough. So, like, NFL windows close real quick. So, if you can't anticipate it, boom, it's gone, right? By the time he tries to wait till the guy gets open and, you know, somebody's coming, or somebody's going to come and cut that off, or he would see something, he would be unsure. So I think when you get into like a second year of your offense, you can start to anticipate things a little bit better because you know where things are going to be. You know how routes are going to be ran. You understand things. You can like anticipate things against coverage. So I think he's going to play better with better weapons too, because the weapons he had were just terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still a Henry. I'm still a Nikhil Harry. I'm still a believer.
Listen, you ain't got to tell me.
I mean, the Rams game.
I want to see
decent tape. It's decent, you know. It's decent tape.
I want to see some Nikhil Harry. I would love to see some great plays out of Nikhil Harry. I want to see that man develop. ASU connection, man. I got to see it.
I got to see it, bro. All right. So we got Jared Goff, 26. Well, I think Goff is he is what he is. He was hidden by play action, right? Justin Fields at 25. So stupid. Jameis Winston
or Taysom Hill, I love how they just said, they basically just said, insert New Orleans Saints quarterback at 24. That's basically what they said. That's how you know that this is not legitimate. Like,
I mean, it's Bruce Gradkowski though. So, I mean, it's not.
How are you going to say both of them, Marcus? You cannot put Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston on the same level.
All right,
you're gonna say they're 24, okay?
Carson Wentz 23, which I think is fair. Like, he's a
I don't like that. I don't think that's fair at all. I don't like that assessment higher? Of him. Yeah, I think he's way higher.
Really?
I think he's in that 15 range, at least to start the season.
15, Chris?
I got him better than Jimmy Garoppolo.
He was the worst quarterback in football last year. Let's get that straight.
He's better than Daniel Jones and Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay. All right. I'll give you that. He's better than Daniel Jones and Jimmy G. Okay. Because, yeah, anybody could have completed that slant, that waterproof slant to George Kittle that I posted on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Check out that.
Jeez.
I would put so I'm just going to think why Jimmy G should be lower, because I'm going to think of all the guys who could complete that slant and who would do it in a Super Bowl situation. Sam Darnold should be over Jimmy G.
No kidding.
That slant. It's the first game, Jimmy. F3, number one on the play design. All right. So I don't know how you freeze on the first read. Like, that is wide open. Like, are you just, like, peeing on yourself because of the Super Bowl? Like, literally, that's him peeing on himself. Because I don't, like, it's your first. Like, I can see the second. I can see not, like, freezing on the first read not being open, Chris.
But was it, like, did he just lock it? I don't remember where his eyes were. Did he lock in on the free rusher? Is that what it was? I couldn't even tell. I couldn't tell where his eyes were.
You got to throw that slant, take the hit, because he had room to even throw it behind Kittle. Oh,
Kittle, I know.
He'll catch it, and then it's still down.
He did.
But if he landed it perfectly, Kittle's still running probably.
Yeah. Hey. Yeah. Yeah.
This is George Kittle. God, this is just terrible. He's just god awful. I don't understand. All right. Daniel Jones is at 20 because PFF loves Daniel Jones.
Oh. Ridiculous.
Because he has a deep ball. Remember the earlier list that we read? He was like 16.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I can't. Anybody that puts Daniel Jones in the top 20 just drives me through the roof.
Is Patrick at 19?
You know what? That's probably the first thing on this list that I'm sitting here going, you know what? I think they nailed it.
See, I think they nailed these other ones here. I think they nailed Burrow.
I think Burrow at 18, I mean, he played half a season.
Yeah, but I think he has some good qualities that I saw on tape. I just think they're never going to win in December because his arm is just not going to hang in that type of NFC North. So, yeah, if anybody, your viewers, got a chance and you want to take a free trial on Game Pass for 7 days, go watch him play in Pittsburgh in, like, November before he got hurt. It's hilarious. It's like, bro, you are not going to – how are you going to win this division, Joe?
He's got to throw it up to his new old toy. Like, he's got his wide receiver.
You got to watch AJ Green's mannerisms in that game, bro. Like, he is pissed because, like, the ball is, like, floating in the air, and it's like just the wind is catching it because he can't get the velocity to throw it
through the wind.
Like, how are you going to win in Pittsburgh, bro?
Yeah.
How are you going to win in Baltimore? How are you going to even win in Cincinnati?
Yeah.
I got a lot of that's because it, like, with him in September and October, he was fine, to be honest.
Yeah,
October, he was all right. So when you got into November, that's when Joe Burrow started to tank a little bit, and that's scary because that arm, bro, that's what I worried about with him. Everything else, really, is really good. He actually picked up blitzes really well. He did a lot of good things, but that Pittsburgh game should scare every Bengals fan. I'm sorry, like, Chris is bad.
They're just glad to see him upright again. Don't start getting their hopes all dashed already, man. Just let them enjoy. He's upright and throwing and standing and running.
It's just like my question. My question all the way with him, and I think we're spending too much time on Joe Burrow, but I think my question always will be with him is, can he win in November and December with that arm in that division? Maybe he was in the AFC West, or he was in the NFC West, and he was in Arizona in domes, and another dome in LA. Had a dome in, like, they all play in domes over there, right? Except San Francisco's perfect weather all the time.
No, man, it gets cold up there.
Yeah, but it doesn't get windy. It doesn't get the wind.
Maybe not as much, but there's he deals with some of that out there.
Yeah, but there's not that Midwest wind, bro. Like that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's fair. That's fair. That's
you know
fair.
What I mean. You know that.
Yeah. Man. I know what you mean. I know exactly what you mean.
So it's not like something he could just get away. Like that's my biggest thing, because I literally believe if he was in the West, he'd be really good. Is just raise that in Cincinnati. I don't know about that. All right. I really agree with Kyler at 17. So, you know, Kyler's most overrated quarterback.
I don't. He's still way too high.
He's the most overrated quarterback in football. So it is what it is there. Ben Roethlisberger, 16. I think that's fair.
I think that's fair also.
Herbert, 15. I would have Herbert higher a little bit.
You'd have him higher.
Yeah. I think.
I got to see another year.
I think he played better than Kirk Cousins. I think he played better than Tannehill, not Stafford. I think I haven't watched Mick Baker, but I thought he played pretty well. I actually got Herbert graded really high, to be honest. I think Herbert's going to probably finish in my top 12, probably, the way it
looks.
Because I just like the way he played. What I'm worried about with him is how has he peaked.
In his rookie year.
Like, is this as good as it gets?
You're talking about him peaking in his rookie year,
Mike. Like, he's not going to peak – like. This is wrong thing to say. Like, he's not going to peak, like – it's hard to describe that because this is how I felt about Baker Mayfield. You know, you talk about Mayfield this rookie year. I mean, I asked that question. Did he peak already? Like, is this it?
You did. And then that year, too, was a little rough.
Yeah, and then we found out that was it. That's him. And he hasn't really changed since his rookie year. So the NFL is different.
He's a little bit more consistent. He was a little bit more consistent
with play action, Chris. He's Jared Goff right now over there. He is. Let's keep it real. He's Jared Goff. Don't tell Cleveland fans that, bro. If you have any Cleveland listeners, bro, they're not listening to this anymore.
I'm gonna kill you, Marcus. He came in and all of a sudden they're relevant. Don't you start dashing their hopes now? Don't you do that to them?
They think he's a god.
It's
crazy, but we'll get to that. Kirk Cousins at 14, which, you know, whatever you have here, I think is fair. Derek Carr, 13. If you have him at 13, that's fair, I guess. Tannehill at 12. I mean, all these guys could be moved around a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I think there's a shuffle here, for sure.
Yeah, I would have Carr over Tannehill and Cousins, but not over Stafford.
So, yeah, Stafford at 11.
Yeah, yeah.
I think – and that's been his, like, entire career. Matt Stafford's always been just outside the top 10.
This top 10 is a little weird for me. Baker Mayfield at 10 is crazy to me.
I'm not – I want to see what he does. I'll confirm it. I'll lock it in if he has a decent year this year. I'll lock that in that he's a top 10 guy.
Yeah, I'm saying when we get to my list, so we'll do a more breakdown. But, like, Baker Mayfield, bro. Like, his without play action stats are terrible. I gotta pull this up, man.
You know what's kind of funny though? Like, we're gonna argue about Baker Mayfield being a top 10 quarterback, but when he's got the best offensive line in the game, the best running game in the NFL, OBJ on the outside, like, he could not be in a better situation. And our fight over him is, hey, maybe he's top 10. That's the thing, man. Like, if they get into a bad contract situation and he starts losing offensive linemen and he loses one of those two running backs behind him, like, will he stay in the top 10? Probably not. So just with the situation alone, with what's going on there in Cleveland, and we're sitting here saying maybe where the fight is, does he stay in the top 10?
I gotta check out this. Hold on, I gotta check out this without play action stats here. No play action. This dude is. Where you at, Baker? Where you at? This dude.
6. He was top 5 with a clean pocket.
Yeah, I know that, but he's 6.4 YPA. Okay, 7 interceptions. I mean, he threw to like 8 last year, I think. So he threw, where's touchdowns? Hold on. with play. They got so many stupid stats on here now. Like, I don't need these extra stats, bro. Just give me touchdowns. like big time throw percentage. Like whatever. So he only had one. He had 12 touchdowns, one interception, without play action, with a 9.5 IPA and the 66% completion percentage, and that went down.
That was all with play action.
That's with play action.
Uh huh.
So without it, he's has a YPA of 6.4, and he has 7 interceptions to 14 touchdowns and a completion percentage of 61. So
we'll see if he can evolve.
I mean, to me, that means he's not playing well. That kind of means to me, like, because if you stop the run, then you win. And that's not a top 10 quarterback. But top 10 quarterback, you stop the run, you got to stop him too.
You
know? I don't know. Matt Ryan, I think Matt Ryan's probably too high.
You think he's too high at number 9?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, he's gonna have his first season without Julio Jones. Talk about somebody holding out and forcing his way out of a situation.
All right. So let's go to the top 10. We got Dak at 7. We got Lamar Jackson at 8. We got Josh Allen at 6, which I think they're like that. Josh's tape is really impressive. I think he's going to.
Yeah, but Deshaun didn't have anything. There were no weapons for Deshaun, and he put the numbers up that he did. So, I agree with Deshaun being higher than Josh Allen. I completely agree with it.
I don't. I got Josh Allen graded higher than Deshaun.
I just didn't think he had to do that.
I have Josh Allen graded higher than, but I mean, half of the grade is arm, and so a lot of it is a little weighted, a little higher. I mean, there's probably, I mean, Russell Wilson's better than Josh in certain areas
that
Josh is not good at, and I think, so it's hard to judge it that way. I think these guys are like, I mean, after Dak, I will say Dak is like the start of tier 2 for me. And then, I mean, I think these other guys are tier 1 guys, but I think there's like tier 1 B and there's tier 1 A. So I think like Russell, Deshaun, and Josh are like that.
Tier 1 B.
Like they're elite, but like, you know. But
yeah.
Are they elite every game?
Right.
Yeah. But I think the three, like Aaron Rodgers, because I haven't done my home yet, but I know I'm going to have. But I think
these guys
are quarterbacks.
Yeah, these are the top three. These are the cream of the crop. These are the elite of the elite. I don't agree with the order of it.
I mean, I think after last year, I think Rodgers is one.
Rodgers is definitely one. I think it's Rodgers 1, Mahomes 2, Brady 3.
Yeah.
And they went Rodgers 3, Brady 2, and Mahomes 1.
Yeah. I think this list is decent, though.
It's not
Bruce Gronkowski, so it's all right. It's the rookies that bothers me. You just can't put rookies, man, on a list, and then you can't put one at 21. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, bro. This is what it is. It's absolutely ridiculous. But I think Josh Allen. I think he's going to be – if he takes another step, I think if he learns how – not learn how to read a blitz. If he actually cares about the blitz. I don't know if that makes sense to you, Chris, but Josh does not care that you're blitzing him. and he should care because, he should get rid of the ball and do it hot, but he doesn't care because he thinks that even if he gets him, I'm going to break the tackle. So, yeah. Doesn't matter if you blitz. I'm either going to get the ball out or I'm going to break the tackle and then roll out and then burn you.
He's a young Big Ben. He's a young Big Ben.
It doesn't work, guys. Josh, no. I know you see it, Josh, because you do some smart things. I know you see that blitz coming.
It's going to go two ways for him. He's either going to get smart about it and extend his career like Big Ben did.
Yeah.
or he's in trouble and he's going to go the way of Cam Newton and have all these injuries.
You know, that's a great comp now that I watch him, because, like, you know, one thing that, you know, Big Ben always did is, like, when he would go through the first two reads, and if he got to the third, it was like, where's AB? That's what Josh does with Diggs. Like, touchdown.
Oh, for sure.
The touchdown to the Colts, the deep touchdown. Like, I think that was the fourth read, because I think that, like, he started the left and he wanted the Beasley, but you could tell by his brain. He's like, okay, where's Stephon? Oh, there he is. And he's through.
Yeah. You know what? That is the perfect comparison. Josh Allen, like, yeah, like Diggs, and Big Ben and Antonio Brown. That is the perfect comparison.
Yeah, dude, I really feel like that. They're gonna that's that connection, dog. Because I think because you can even tell, like, the way Josh does in his head, and, like, Josh, and, you know, that's what I'm talking about, not caring, because he does everything post snap. Like, and you can't do that in the NFL.
No, you're right. You're totally right.
And yeah, I'm sure Josh. You could process pretty well now. I'm just watching you on tape. I could tell you can, but, like, some of the stuff you gotta, like, decide before. You can't do everything. You can't decide everything. I mean, you shouldn't predetermine a throw either, but also don't think you should, like, just it's hard to explain watching. I don't know. It's just so rogue. It's just, like, crazy. It's just like, you know what? I'm just gonna read everything after the play. It don't matter. Just snap me the ball. If you blitz me, I'm just going to pump fake the guy. He's going to jump. I'm going to move out of the way. And I'm still going to do it. I mean, I don't care what you do. That's basically, that's his whole attitude.
Like, I mean, there's advantages to being that big, man. There's advantages to being that big.
With that strong of an arm, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, I just imagine that. I just imagine, like, if you just read that snap, that blitz pre-snap, and you changed it, and you hit the check, and you hit the, like, you guys would, like, you'd be incredible. You know,
because also not get hit like 30 more times.
Yeah, because that's what happened in the playoffs. That's what happened in the playoffs. He thinks he's Superman. So they would blitz him, and then they would play. They're the top defense in the NFL, top teams in the NFL. So they play good coverage, and it would freeze him. But, like, and he would just try to break a tackle, and the next thing you know, he's getting sacked. And, and it happened to him a lot. That's why, like, the Colts game. But anyway, I'm going to Josh Allen talk about. But anyways. So that was the PFF rankings. You know, PFF is always interesting. They're always an interesting place.
Yeah.
It's always a very interesting thing with their stats. I mean, I like their stats and all that stuff, but, you know, their grades, they're too deep ball heavy. And I know deep passes are important, but, like, I mean, that's how you give Daniel Jones a high grade, because you're
Daniel Jones.
But that deep pass he threw, like, come on,
Daniel Jones. I can't, Marcus. All right, what we need from you for our next episode.
Okay.
Because it is still the off season. We're not going to give you every week. We're not going to hit you every week right now.
Yeah.
Because there's still all these talking heads. Everybody's got situations that they're going to explain and over-explain. Everybody wants to talk about Aaron Rodgers every single day. We're not going to do that to you. We're not going to do that to you. We're going to talk to you when it's important.
Yeah,
Marcus is going to break down the quarterbacks, and he's going to give you his list.
Yes.
And Marcus and I are going to discuss his list. And then we'll see what happens come June 1st and that first week of June. We may be talking to you sooner than later, depending on what happens here at the beginning of June.
And I'm almost done, guys. So I try to be in-depth. I'm trying to get you guys in-depth. I'm just not guessing.
Yeah.
Using
PFF stats. Yeah. Like, no. We need to talk about real stuff here.
I'm not trusting the 19-year-old college guy that graded those games. You know, like, I'm not trusting – he's just trying to survive at his mom's house. Grading PFF. Grading every pass. Bruce, like, Greg Kasky, I know you made this list, but you did not grade these games. I know that. Anyways, all right. So, yeah, guys, you know, make sure you follow us on Twitter. ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us on Instagram. ALPA_QB1. Make sure you follow us on Facebook. Hit the like button, right? A little pocket awareness. Go ahead and search down on Facebook. Then hit the like button. Then go ahead and hit subscribe on iTunes. Please do that. Leave us a review. I mean, I know I got some listeners now. We got some more listeners. You know, if you guys are listening, give us some
views. Tell us about it. Yeah, let us know
about it. Like, let us know. You know what I mean? Like, you know, we're getting some good views now, so we really appreciate all the new listeners and you guys checking us out. all the people that came over from TDL that are listening. We appreciate you guys supporting me on this new one, on this different one. So I appreciate that. And Chris does too. So it's awesome.
And those day oneers, we got to thank those day oneers too.
Day one, you know, we appreciate you guys too. So, but thank you guys. Make sure you guys follow us on everything that I said. And make sure you follow me and Chris on Twitter too, @KingManellos and @TheMarkJohnNFL. All right. See you guys.